podcasting in a writing class? Considering the possibilities. Episode 1, Introduction and Background. Welcome to Podcasting in a Writing Class, Considering the Possibilities, a multimodal project exploring podcasting as part of a writing class. You are listening to Episode 1, Introduction and Background. This is a 6-episode podcast series with an interconnected web text published in Kairos, a journal of rhetoric, technology, and pedagogy. A full transcript of each episode is available on the website.
I am Dr. Jennifer L. Bowie, your host for this series and a senior usability research analyst for the Home Depot website. I'm also a podcaster with a variety of podcasts, including Screen Space, a podcast about creating usable, accessible, effective, and efficient web, blog, and digital media design for the everyday and non-expert designer.
In this episode, I will first present the series, then introduce podcasting, discuss how it fits in a writing classroom, present the advantages, describe the studies I draw on throughout the text, and consider digital divide issues. Without further ado, let's begin Episode 1, Introduction and Background. Podcasting in a Writing Class, Considering the Possibilities, is a multimodal text with two main components, a hypertextual web text and the 6-episode podcast series. I encourage you to listen to the podcast and to explore the web text to experience the full article. This multimodal text is a companion to another multimodal text, Rhetorical Roots and Media Future, How Podcasting Fits into the Computers and Writing Classroom. In Rhetorical Roots, I address how podcasts may be used in classrooms to help students rethink the old writing concepts we have been teaching, such as audience, tone, purpose, and context, along with the 5 canons, in new ways, and consider how students may bring the lessons they learn from podcasting back into their print text writing. In this article, I focus on the practice of podcasts in our writing classes. I introduce the concept of podcasts and present a short definition of them and list some advantages to podcasts in Episode 1, this episode. I also touch on digital divide and literacy issues. In Episode 2, I present the 3 types of podcasts to consider incorporating into your writing classroom: teacher-produced podcasts, student-produced podcasts, and externally produced podcasts. In Episode 3, I begin presenting possible podcast assignments. I provide some basic information on integrating these assignments and have students produce podcasts, and then present 3 response podcast assignments. In Episode 4, I focus on 4 media and message assignments. I finish the possible assignments in Episode 5, where I cover 2 genre-based assignments. I complete the article in Episode 6 with a tip, information on resources, and a conclusion. In Episodes 2 through 5, I have also included clips from student work as examples of what the students have done with podcasting.
Many podcasters provide ethos in the beginning part of the podcast by telling the listeners who they are. Following this trend, here is my background. I am Dr. Jennifer L. Bowie, a senior usability research analyst for the Home Depot website. Previously, I was an assistant professor at Georgia State University. Inside and outside the academy, I teach and research podcasting, digital media, writing, usability, and rhetoric. I've taught 8 classes with podcast components, from having podcast readings to a podcast-intensive senior seminar class. I'm also a podcaster with my own web and digital media design podcast called Screen Space, a pod poster series for the Association of Teachers of Technical Writing Conference in 2009, and a forthcoming, possibly already out by this point in time, triathlon, duathlon, and running couplecast with my husband. I have also presented various conferences on podcasting and have conducted research on podcasting, including classroom research, usability research, and interview research with some successful podcasters. This article is based on my experience as a podcaster and as a teacher and researcher of podcasting.
Now that I have introduced the article and myself, let's talk podcasting. Quote, podcasting is so much more than a technology. It is truly an art form. End quote. Rob Walsh and Moore Lafferty. First, I will define what a podcast is for those of my listeners who may not be familiar. Podcasts are episodic, digital media files distributed over the internet, usually through RSS feeds and collected by subscribers through RSS feed readers and podcatcher software, such as iTunes. Podcasts are designed to be subscribed to so that subscribers will receive the latest podcast episode when it is published or when their software is next scheduled to check. While podcasts can be a range of files, the most common are audio and video, and it is these two types I focus on in this article. Podcasting started out as a grassroots collaboration, and many of the early podcasters were passionate and non-commercial, podcasting for the love of technology and their topics. 6 years later, companies of all sizes, including Fortune 500 companies and many charities, have podcasts. As podcasts have become increasingly popular among the grassroots and businesses, those of us in computers and writing may be considering incorporating podcasts into our classes. Since podcasts are a greater departure from the typographic-based texts, such as web pages and blogs, we may already include in our classes, integration may be more problematic. Podcasts tend to be visual and or auditory texts with typographic-based texts as support, such as transcripts or captions. The emphasis changes, but the writing and argument skills still hold true. The studies. Throughout this series, I will provide some empirical support for the podcast assignments. I draw on findings from two different studies. I conducted survey studies in my fall 2010 and in my fall 2008 senior seminar classes. In both cases, I am providing data from a survey given at the end of class. While the two surveys differ somewhat, in each I asked how various assignments and class components contributed to the students' understanding and applications of various skills and knowledge related to writing. In the 2008 study, I asked about skills and knowledge in 29 areas, and in the fall 2010 study, I asked about 19 areas. In both classes, the students were senior rhetoric and composition students at Georgia State University who were going to graduate that semester or the next. In my fall 2010 class, 10 of 14 students took the survey. My 2008 class, 9 of 10 students took the survey. For both studies, I received IRB approval, and I have collected digital versions of the surveys. I have included various tables of results on the relevant episode-related web text pages. Both studies are larger than just the surveys, and I'm only pulling a small amount of data from the surveys. I later plan to more fully analyze and present these studies. I offer the limited survey information as empirical support for my arguments in this podcast series. Advantages. There are several advantages to integrating podcasts into a writing classroom. Listed in no particular order. 1. Higher student achievements. Researchers Belinda Tynan and Stephen Colbrand, and also Danny McKinney, Jennifer Dyke, and Elise Lubber found that podcasts can lead to higher student achievements. 2. Student support and enthusiasm. Students tend to like using podcasts as part of their learning, as found in 5 different studies, by Tynan and Colbrand, by McKinney, Dyke, and Lubber, by Michael Huntsberger and Alan Stavinsky, and by Evans. 3. Time and location shifted. The anytime, anywhere option with podcasts is a strong advantage. This advantage is supported by findings from 2 studies, one by Evans and one by Huntsberger and Stavinsky. I've also had the students rave about the advantages of listening anytime, anywhere in my own classes. 4. Improved electronic writing and publishing skills. In the fall 2010 survey, I asked students how podcasting contributed to their understanding and application of several skills and knowledge related to class. Students either agreed or strongly agreed that podcasts contributed to their understanding and application of 15 skills, including audience, purpose, context, ethos, pathos, and logos. I'll provide a full list of these findings in the web text, so please check it out. 5. Costs. Podcasts are usually free, and Audacity, one of the better podcasting programs, is also free. If students have their own microphone, whether it be a USB microphone, an iPod, iPhone, or an MP3 player that can record, or a $1,000 recording setup with microphone and soundboard, then there do not need to be any additional costs. I'll discuss cost further shortly. 6. Learning through listening. According to Sabici and Teitel, learning through listening is more attractive and less tedious than reading, and it is a primary learning method for people from the beginning. They suggest it may motivate those who do not like reading, and it's a richer medium for understanding. As Manning states on page 2, quote, "What one hears through the speaker's intonation, dictation, and reflection conveys a richer understanding not only of the content but of the speaker. Listeners connect to that voice and may feel less isolated," end quote. 7. Good knowledge distribution model. Podcasts are a good way to distribute information with subscriptions. With a subscription, the texts are automatically delivered directly to the students, so there's less information retrieval and searching time. Also, the files are easy to share. The copyright issues often associated with fair educational use are less of an issue too, as often these files are distributed free online for anyone interested. 8. Not lost in time. Podcasts also provide a more permanent record than just speaking and allow people to rewind and replay the text. Digital divide and technological literacy. When considering any technology in the classroom, it is important to also consider the digital divide and technological literacy issues. As our students may be on either side of the divide, we cannot and should not just add technology into a classroom without some considerations. Access to digital technology and technological literacy are two key components of the digital divide. While most college students have some access to technology, whether their own laptop or campus computer lab, the amount and ease of access are serious concerns. If students do not have a convenient access to technology, such as at home or even suitable campus lab hours, accessing podcasts, let alone creating them, can be problematic. Also, if students do not have an MP3 player or a phone that plays MP3s, some advantages of the podcast, such as the time and location shifted benefits, are lost. Even when students have MP3 players, some students do not have the technological literacy to know how to download the podcast onto their phone or MP3 player a single time, let alone set up a subscription. I have found students will tend to listen on their computer and read transcripts rather than learning how to download the files on a portable device. Thus, even access is not always enough, and additional information on how to access and download the podcast may be necessary. In addition, those on the less digital side of the digital divide likely have less technological literacy than their peers. Podcasts require a certain level of technological literacy to access and more to produce. However, integrating podcasts can, in some ways, advantage those on the less tech side of the divide. With podcasting, students may develop their technological literacy skills, which is especially helpful for those with lower literacy levels. Since the majority of my students do not have any experience producing podcasts, they start from a similar place. Granted, those with higher technological literacy in other areas may have some advantages, but I've had several students struggle with other technological components of my class and then shine with podcasting. In fact, I've had those on the low tech side of the divide even helping their peers on the other side of the divide. Some divide issues can be mitigated in similar ways to how we've mitigated our other digital divide issues since we've begun incorporating technology into our classrooms. Providing students with in-class workshop time with technology can help a great deal. Providing students with information on the other resources they have available, labs, training, and equipment, can also help. I always offer to loan out my USB headsets, which are good for recording and editing podcasts, to students who do not have a microphone and cannot utilize the lab equipment. I've also gotten a special technology grant from a group on campus in charge of the iTunes University Initiative and was able to provide my students with an iPod for the semester. There may be initiatives like these on other campuses. Also, for students who simply do not have access to computers outside the classroom, one workaround for listening to podcasts is to burn the podcast onto a CD or DVD. According to the Consumer Electronics Association, 90% of households in the U.S. have CD players, and 84% have DVD players. The teachers could burn the CDs or DVDs, or their students could do this during their workshop time. On a related note, cost is another concern with the integration of podcasts into our classrooms. Money for technology is often a divide issue, and those on the less tech side often do not have the money to buy the technology. Luckily, podcasting is a fairly low-cost addition to class. Software is often a huge expense, but there is good free software. I use Audacity and recommend my PC students use it too. It is free, has a shallow learning curve for the basics, and is used by many podcasters. It's also available on Linux, PC, and Mac. Rob Walsh and Maureen Lafferty also recommend it, stating on page 265, quote, "Audacity is the best and cheapest option," end quote. If the student owns or has access to a Mac, GarageBand is another free option that comes with Macs and is a decent program. As long as students have a computer or access to a computer, the only other piece of equipment they may need is a microphone. And I recommend USB microphones, which run about $25 and up. Many students already have microphones, some built into the laptops, and others bought them for gaming or chatting by voice. My school also loans out equipment, which some students took advantage of for the microphones. Between school borrowing, previous ownership, my microphone loans, and school labs, I have not had a student need to buy a microphone yet. So, while we should consider digital divide and technological literacy issues, we should not let these issues stop us from incorporating podcasts into our classrooms. There are plenty of ways to alleviate many of the issues with thoughtful planning, information on resources, and possibly loaning out equipment. Of course, incorporating podcasting will enable the students to develop a new technological literacy area, and thus may be helpful for students regardless of their literacy levels or location on either side of the divide. Thanks for listening to Episode 1, Introduction and Background, in the Multimodal Text, Podcasting in a Writing Class? Considering the Possibilities. Tune in to Episode 2, Podcast Types to Consider, where I'll discuss the three types of podcasts that can be incorporated into writing classrooms. This multimodal text was published in Kairos, a journal of rhetoric, technology, and pedagogy. Please check out the full web text at Kairos. Full reference information, transcript, and links are available in the web text, and also in the lyrics field of the MP3 file.
I do hope you check out the companion piece, also published in Kairos, where I discuss how podcasting can enable us and our students to rethink old writing concepts, such as the rhetorical canon and other writing skills, in new ways. The companion piece, Rhetorical Roots and Media Future, How Podcasting Fits into the Computers and Writing Classroom, is available at kairos.technorhetoric.net/16.2/topoi/bowie.
The music used in this podcast is Six off Ghost One by Nine Inch Nails, which is available under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike Creative Commons license. This text is licensed under a Creative Commons attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 3.0 United States license. Please give me, Jennifer L. Bowie, and Kairos credit. Don't make any money off of this. And share any derivative works. Thanks for listening.